Support for today's broadcast comes from Provena Covenant Medical Group. Provena Medical Group physician Dr. Lenley Jackson, a U of I graduate, will be offering campus area residents a primary care option just steps from Krannert Center. Appointments available at his campus office at 217-328-2323.
In sports, Americans Kerry Walsh and Misty May Treanor wrapped up the beach volleyball round robin with a perfect record, beating Norway in straight sets to head into the medal round with a 3-0 record. The U.S. men's basketball team is 3-0 at Beijing after Kobe Bryant and Chris Bosh scored 18 points apiece in a 92-69 rout of Greece. The win allows the Yanks to clinch a spot in the medal round. And James Blake upset top-ranked Roger Federer before the Williams sisters lost in the Olympic tennis quarterfinals. Blake was 0-8 lifetime against Federer before reaching the semis with a win over the 12-time Grand Slam champion. Serena Williams fell to Elena Dementieva, and Venus Williams was surprised by unseeded Li Ma of China. That's a look at sports.
Today's programming is made possible in part by 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign, offering a collection of products from more than 30 third world countries, from Vietnamese ceramics and textiles to Bolivian musical instruments and international home decor.
Illinois Democrats came together in Springfield yesterday for their annual meeting and unity rally. They put on a good show with a record number of party faithful in attendance, but signs of the friction that's come to dominate the Illinois Democratic Party were also in the spotlight. Amanda Vinicky reports.
It's a day that's supposed to be about unity, and it's clear the state's Democrats are united behind their most visible popular figure, native son Barack Obama.
In 83 days, we have a chance to close the book on the Bush administration. In 83 days, we have a chance to move America forward with our country working together, with the American family coming together. We don't need any more Karl Roves dividing up America. We're stronger when we stand together. We can do that in 83 days. And you know how we're going to do it? Barack Obama, President of the United States. That's how it's going to be done.
That's Illinois' other U.S. Senator, Dick Durbin, speaking at a state fair rally. So it would appear that Democrats are in good shape. Not only is the party expected to sail in November's election with Obama at the top of the ticket, Democrats already control every aspect of Illinois state government, as the event's guest speaker, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, noticed.
You know, I like Illinois. All your top office holders in the state, they're all Democrats. Don't you have one Republican?
They may be in power, but the fighting among those officials is so rampant that it's unlikely even Richardson, a former United Nations ambassador and Nobel Prize nominee, would be able to bring them together. One visible symbol of just how bad the situation's become, besides the governor, only one of the state's constitutional officers attended the fair rally, Treasurer Alexi Giannoulias. And even he had choice words about the state of the party and Governor Rod Blagojevich.
We've got a complete lack of leadership in Illinois. It's horrible. So, you know, we're wasting people's time. People have real problems. And you're talking about people who just hate each other and they're just putting their personal agendas ahead of helping people.
Comptroller Dan Hines explains his reason for skipping the party.
I became concerned that the message at the fairgrounds is not going to be unity or common ground, but instead, you know, divisiveness and singling out Democrats and demonizing them. And that's a shame because, you know, that's really not what the day is supposed to be about. And so the more I heard about that, I felt that, you know, I really didn't want to be a part of it.
While Blagojevich has been apt to bash House Speaker Mike Madigan lately, the governor's remarks were more toned down than Hines and others expected. Blagojevich blames Madigan for holding up a statewide infrastructure program that just about everyone agrees is sorely needed. The governor hinted at those differences.
It's one thing to stand for things. It's another to stand up for things. It's not enough to simply say you're for all those things and then not do them for the people.
But when Blagojevich was asked if that remark was targeted at Madigan, he refused to say.
Let me say that if we can come together and create jobs and pass a jobs bill and put aside, the excuse express, which is just another reason to not do anything, that I'm going to feel better about all the Democrats in Illinois.
Blagojevich's tempered remarks, coupled with a signal from Madigan that he may be willing to compromise to get an infrastructure program passed, could be a sign that change is ahead. Change is, after all, the theme of Barack Obama's campaign. But it seems that Illinois Democrats aren't willing to go with the change mantra at the state level just yet. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The recent housing crisis has taught us home values don't always rise, and people want to make sure they get what they pay for in a house. That's especially true with green homes. They're supposed to provide extra value. But does your real estate agent know enough about green homes to make sure that's the case? Sean Ali reports that many agents are not aware of the value of eco houses, but the industry is working to increase their knowledge.
When Nathan Kipnis showed me a green home he designed, I spotted some green features all by myself. For example, it was kind of hard to miss the solar water heater. But it turns out I actually did miss some stuff. The architect had to show me the living room tile.
What you're seeing here is the black slate, or dark gray slate. And this is set to take the sun in the winter and the fall and spring, and it heats up the space with that.
You know, what's striking about this is you have these little placards, and some of them read, the floor absorbs sun, creating thermal surfaces. These are kind of green crib notes, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah, we definitely needed these because there was the chance that, of course, a realtor is going to come through here unaccompanied.
Kipnis sweated over this solar tile, but at first, real estate agents were like me. They missed it, or they just didn't get how it worked. Kipnis says it's likely some potential buyers went home clueless. Still, he doesn't blame the agents.
And they're just kind of used to, well, here's the crown molding, and here's the fireplace trim, and this is a pantry. You know, that's their, what we call their expert knowledge base.
Some realtors are expanding their knowledge base to include green homes. There's a certification program that gets agents up to speed on energy conservation, water use, and other green home features. It's called EcoBroker, and it's run by John Beldock. Beldock says EcoBroker trains agents to protect homebuyers.
Many people stay in their houses longer than 5 years. If you're really watching out to make sure that the consumer is buying a house that not only can she afford to buy, but that she can afford to operate, you know, you've really provided a valuable service in society.
4,000 people have EcoBroker certification. That might sound like a lot, but there's more than 2 million real estate license holders in the U.S. So most homebuyers will encounter agents who are not trained or ones who mostly train themselves, like Celeste Caron in Chicago.
I've been fortunate enough to be invited to the table with some very high-level people in the industry who have been kind enough to sit down and explain things to me over coffee. And they've become part of my network, and through that, I've really learned more than anything else.
Caron says formal certification is great, but when it comes down to it, buyers should press agents about a home's green claims, and when possible, they should ask for numbers.
There are certain properties where I know that it's been rated, I know that it's been computer modeled, and I know that the claims are likely to be true because they're based in performance testing, rather than somebody just coming up with a number that they think sounds good.
Caron says there's a lot at stake in getting green housing claims right. The trend is young, and it's vulnerable to realtors who oversell green features.
Building better quality buildings has to be the norm. And in order for that to happen, the claims about them have to be honest, and people have to continue to buy them. And so if buyers want it and builders build it, the market will expand and move forward.
Caron says it's not like realtors are trying to screw people over. There is room for trust. It's just that for now, it's best to back up that trust with a bit of skepticism. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
At first glance, hands together, heart to art, seems like your typical art camp. It's a day camp held each summer at Chicago's Auditorium Theater at Roosevelt University. But the kids who come are anything but typical. They've all lost at least one parent. And the regular camp stuff, the singing and dancing and putting on plays, is just part of an experience that camp organizers hope to see replicated in other cities. Lynette Kalsness reports.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to camp.
Camp director Nicole Lasordo looks around at the children in front of her. They wear sparkly barrettes and Band-Aids. There are 46 in all, from age 6 to about 12, and every single one of them has lost one or both parents. The welcome speeches last just 2 minutes and 6 seconds.
So, I think we should maybe get this party started. What do you think? I think so. Okay. Here we go.
These kids' parents died from cancer, car accidents, suicide, and even murder. Some of them sit quietly with arms pulled in tight to their bodies, and they just look around. The camp counselors go to the kids who aren't dancing and twirl them around. Soon, there's only a handful still watching and waiting.
It gives them an outlet. It gives them a way to express themselves without necessarily having to stand up and shout, you know, I lost my father or I lost my mother.
Brett Batterson runs the Auditorium Theater. He started the camp because his father died when he was a kid. He says the arts saved him. During camp, kids take dance, music, and theater. They also attend small group sessions with therapists. Batterson believes it's the only arts camp just for kids who have lost a parent.
It all comes down to we want the kids, no matter how sad they may be at the when they enter the camp, to leave the camp happier, to understand that the world is still a beautiful place for them to grow up.
It's day 2, and a circus group is here to boost the kids' confidence and teamwork. Circus Steam shows them how to juggle.
Bravo!
Within minutes, the children are the ones juggling, walking on balls, and twirling plates on sticks. But the highlight is a giant wheel that spins them high in the air.
Oh my gosh!
Can you give us a one-handed wave?
Candace Suber and another girl giggle as they watch one of the boys. Candace is 10. Her mom died in a car crash when she was 3. Candace says she misses her mom.
I talked to myself, and they asked me who you're talking to, and I said my mom, because I don't have nobody else to talk to.
Does it make you feel better when you talk to your mom?
Yeah, it makes me feel better and makes me feel like she's there for real.
One of the things Candace likes about camp is sharing her memories.
I cry sometimes because I really miss my mom, and I wish she was there to take care of us more than my dad is doing, but my dad's trying to work hard just like she did before she died.
Another camper, Benton Belzer, says he used to be really mad. He's 11, and his dad died of cancer when he was 6.
He had this beard and mustache and stuff. Then any time he kissed me, it was like it tickled a little, and then I cried every time that I think of that.
His mom, Donna McVeigh, says before Benton and his sister attended camp for the first time, they were stuck on questions like, why us, and when's dad coming back?
They were just so angry at God, and they were angry at me, and they were angry at him, and I really do feel like after that summer, and after seeing that other kids felt the same way, and that it was okay to feel that way, that they were able to ask other questions, like where do we go from here and is it okay, do I not feel guilty because I'm having fun?
Benton says camps helped him find creative ways to get his mind off things. One of his creations is a comic strip with the superhero Toast Boy.
Toast Boy knows how to do anything that a household object can do.
How does he do this if he's a toast?
He usually is like protecting his own head. His weakness is burning up like burnt toast.
Live from the land of toast and butter.
Now Benton and his superhero have a starring role. He and the other kids at camp created a play based on his comic strip with help from Child's Play Touring Theater. Toast Boy and Butter Kid stop the evil villains by throwing skim milk on them.
Butter Kid says, hey, Toast Boy, that's where we're from.
In the room next door, students from the Chicago College of Performing Arts teach songs for the big show. Another day brings a more somber note to camp. The kids write messages to their dead parents and send them up in balloons.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
The campers watch as the balloons rise toward the skyline. They express concern when a few white balloons seem to fall, then cheer as they go up again. As the balloons rise, Marianne Williams asks her parents for a sign they're still with her. Both died about 4 years ago.
I was mad. I didn't want to talk to none of my family members because they didn't know what it was like to lose both of my parents.
Marion says she didn't open up until a healing session her first year of camp. This is her third year now, and she's a junior counselor. Many of the kids return year after year. The organizers acknowledge there's only so much you can do in 2 weeks. In fact, a handful of kids drop out before it's over. But the organizers point to the kids' progress over the years as evidence the arts can help. That's why they hope to spread the camp to other cities to help more of the nearly 2 million American children who have lost a parent. Marion has a message for these kids.
If you lose a mom or a dad or both, you are going to feel very mad. You're going to hate everybody. You're going to hate the world. You're probably not going to want to live, but just know that that's the phase, and you will be okay, and you will come out on top.
Just a few days later, it's time for the final show. The audience fills up with surviving parents and the aunts, uncles, and grandparents that many of the children live with now. Drama teacher Emma Kaywood gives Samantha Flory a pep talk.
We're going to do it awesomely.
Yeah, perfect.
We're going to do the best job that we can do, okay?
The best job.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Never has to be perfect. It just has to be awesome.
One of the boys, Tavante Grandjean, says he's really nervous.
Sit down and relax.
I got a puke, man.
I don't feel like seeing pizza that you've thrown up.
But it hurts.
Then it's time to go on. The kids file on stage. Their faces light up as they spot their families. Their voices become louder and their bows more extravagant. They finish up with a song they sang so tentatively just a week ago. Their families wipe away tears. Then they greet the children with big hugs. I'm Lynette Colsmith.
The Hands Together Heart to Art Camp also has a session for older kids. For more information about the camp or resources for children who have lost a parent, go to the Auditorium Theater's website at auditoriumtheater.org. That's auditoriumtheater.org, and click on Education.
Earth and Sky.
For some years, scientists have been testing robots they say could take exploration of the moon and planets to a new level. Dante is a prototype robot tested in the 1990s in Antarctica.
We spent about a week hauling the robot up to the rim of Mount Erebus.
That's David Wettergreen of the Robotics Institute at Carnegie Mellon in